And we're back.
Yes.
And we're gone?
Maybe.
Exploding Barrel Podcast for, what day is it? November 21st? 20th?
21st.
21st. 2020. I almost said 2021. Wishful thinking. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Ajga.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's getting bad again, Mike.
Yeah, we haven't done a show in a while. We apologize. AJ's kids have been uncooperative at bedtime, and COVID's been rampaging again, and it's been a whole thing. And we've been talking a bit about the future of the show, really, and we're, I don't know, what
Exploding Barrel Podcast, as you know it, will be coming to an end soon.
Yeah, maybe as anyone knows, we don't know. We're definitely, so here's what's happening at least, and let us know what you think. Because we're trying to figure out too. It's been awkward lately because I do this other gaming podcast with Jeff Grubb at work that's been kind of gaining traction. So it's like sometimes I go do that, then I come here and say the same things about the video games of the week.
Uh-huh.
So it's gotten too big for me. Yeah, obviously 1 week, yeah. One, you know, doing it once a week is just difficult anymore. So we're thinking maybe best case we can just do a monthly show now where we try to come up with more creative topics.
Basically ripping off 90s Disney, but for video games.
Yeah, right. Sure. Or we just stop, which is sad.
We haven't fully decided yet, but we kind of were looking at each other last week, and I brought it up, and Mike said the same thing. I think a 13-year run for a One Up Yours knockoff has finally run its course.
It may have. So it might be that. At the very least, we have a few more shows planned out to do.
So our basic thought here is past, present, and future. So this month, we're going to talk about the last console generation, the Xbox One, PS4 generation. We're gonna look back at it because that was really, you know, we existed before that gen, but that's really where we cut our teeth, I guess you'd say.
Right.
So we're going to do that this month. Next month is going to be a look forward as we we'll come up today a little bit about games we play, but we'll kind of really give our thoughts on what these next-gen consoles are like and what we think they can do and where things are going.
Yeah.
And then in January, we'll do our 2020 game of the year. And then I'm going to compile all the games of the year that we've ever done, and we will decide the Exploding Barrel Podcast game of
the show.
The show? Yeah, I guess.
Game of the show.
Game of the show.
Attack of the show. No, different show.
Wrong show. Yeah.
So that's the plan. And if there's more after that, we don't know. So
We'll see.
You know, let us know what you think. If you also think maybe it's time for it to end, let us know. If you're like, no, don't go, please. We love you. I mean, that'd be great to hear, but I don't know. Yeah. Anyone cares that much. But, you know, let me know that too. Because, I mean, you know, probably doesn't want to end, but other probably like maybe it makes sense.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
you know, we are focusing on 90s Disney also, and that's been going well, and that's fun, and you know, I think there's more excitement
This is our baby. This is where podcasting started. We've been doing this for a long time.
I've been doing it for like half of my life now, basically.
Wow, that's crazy. And you know, sometimes it's hard to say goodbye, but
we'll see. I'm still not even committed. Clearly, I'm not committed to saying goodbye.
I think I was a little more like, yeah, it needs to be done. You were the one like,
too. No, I agreed with you, and now I'm like, now that it's like here, I'm like scared. So I don't know. We'll see.
The problem is ebpodcast.com is the primary domain on my hosting account, and to change that is a huge pain in the ass.
Redirect it to 90s Disney. But
it'll never go away. Well, I mean, I'm paying for the hosting. The archive will stay up for forever.
So if we do decide to end it all, that's months away anyway, so we'll get there. We get there. But yeah, right now, we are just going to talk a bit about that last generation. Although I say last generation. Generations are so weird anymore.
Right. The Xbox One PS4 generation.
Right. Like those two specifically. We're not talking about Mario Odyssey or even Wii U. We're not talking about Zombie U, the big hit it was. Yeah. Did you play Zombie U? I didn't.
No.
Some people like that game.
Good for you.
Yeah. Good for them. I was remember how like Ubisoft was all in on the Wii.
They're always in on console launches. They're usually pretty gung ho.
Yeah. So like what is this? Like what were your favorite games for each system or just the generation in general? Well,
let me bring up some genres so to speak and experiences and see what you felt was the best. So without thinking too hard, if you had to pick one game, what is it?
Ori.
Yeah. I figured I'd ask that because I feel like we both have the same
almost
answer.
Like,
and
almost,
it's pretty easy.
Even though I like the second one more, like the first one, I associate more with that generation because it kind of came out a bit in the middle of
it. Yeah,
and
it kind of like, you know, we saw it. We were like, oh, this looks cool. And you play and it's like, oh, this is one of the greatest games ever made.
I mean, I absolutely freaking love both Ori games. They're both amazing. That was so cool. I remember seeing that at that first E3. I played it. I talked to some guy from Moon Studios. Like, oh, this seems cool. Then it came out. And then it like came out. I just was so into that game, the way it looks. I still listen to the soundtracks constantly. Like, Ori is fantastic. I mean, it's very different. It's certainly by far my favorite of the kind of digital experiences, I guess you call it. I don't even know if you would call them indie game, really. But
like, thing you couldn't buy on a store shelf.
Right.
Except for like limited run games doing things.
Yeah. Indie games are weird in general because I didn't play very much of those on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't playing too many indie games, I feel like, again, until
the Switch
where also I was like, I think I was maybe even playing more of them on like my 3DS. Like, I think I had Shovel Knight on my 3DS.
I did
first,
too for a long time,
Right? So that's where I was kind of playing that stuff. Remember when the generation started, Sony was like making a big indies push when the console was launching about PlayStation 4.
They really felt like they fell off of that.
Well, of course they did, because they needed indies at first to fill out the...
Yeah, and on PS3,
Right. I mean, they kind of did that again this time with Bugsnax, right? Are they going to care about a game like Bugsnax that much in 2 years? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. By the way, I do not like Bugsnax.
I haven't played it yet. I'll get to it.
I think it's fine, but some people are like... This is great.
Like, some people just like things because they're weird.
Yeah, well, some people are like, this has the most like realistic representations of like, you know, of LGBTQ romance and stuff. And I'm like, I played that game. There's nothing very deep going on. Like, maybe I just don't get it because I'm like a straight white guy, which is totally possible. But I mean, I don't know. It was a silly goober game. But we're not talking about this newfangled generation. No. So I mean, Ori, and then I mean, really. Like, the next thing is just this kind of slate of PlayStation 4 exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question, like, what's your favorite out of all those?
I guess it's a toss between Spider-Man and God of War.
You want to put Uncharted 4 up there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's Uncharted 4.
It's Uncharted 4 for me.
Yeah, no, right.
And I'll tell you what, you bring up a point. I feel like people kind of forget about it. Despite it being Uncharted 4, I feel like it doesn't get as much respect as that. To me, that game was absolutely like ridiculously amazing. Like, mm-hmm. It was a lot better than any, new Gears of War or any Call of Duty we got during this generation.
That is true. That is true.
But it's like,
you're right. Why did I forget?
It was a bit ago.
I guess. It was pre PS4 Pro even.
Mm-hmm.
Because it got the patch after the fact.
Right.
So it was a while now.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. That's how silly of me. But
really before.
That is the answer.
It kind of started that big slate. Because when we think about the big PlayStation 4 exclusives, a lot of the ones were Uncharted 4 and afterward, like that. And then you had God of War. You had Spider-Man. I think Horizon was even after thing, I think. Then Ghost of Tsushima. And those are all really good games, I think. I think Horizon and Ghost of Tsushima are interesting because they're both similar. They're both kind of map games, and they're both new franchises from like Sony Studios that were working on franchises I didn't like as much. So I'm like, oh, this is better.
Yeah,
make this instead of Resistance and Killzone, please. Like, I'm so glad both of them went away from first-person shooters.
Not Resistance, Infamous.
Right. What is
Sucker Punch?
That's right. Resistance is just Insomniac. Yeah. You're right. Well, also that too.
Although I like the Infamous game that launched the PS4. I beat it.
I did beat it. I remember very little. It was fun. I remember it was fun. I remember the story was stupid and just not stupid, but it was completely forgettable.
Yeah.
You had a brother who was a cop and you disappointed him and then he died, I think. Or he became proud of you. You have a brother. I don't know. Maybe he's fine. In my mind, he died.
He's dead.
It was fun enough. But I tell you, all the stuff we're talking about, they're not going to put the guy from Infamous 3 or whatever it was in, He wasn't in like the montage thing that you unlock in Astros Playroom. Yeah. He didn't make an appearance in that game. Cole did, maybe. See, it is like PlayStation 3. They had some decent exclusive franchises, like in terms of like name recognition, I guess, like Killzone, Resistance, and Infamous. I didn't care for any of those that much. I freaking loved Uncharted, obviously.
Right.
But like everything else, even God of War on PlayStation 3, those were kind of the more stale games. 3 was fun.
Yeah.
But then there was like that one afterward, Ascension or whatever. That
No one remembers it.
Yeah. God of War is like the most PlayStation game. It's like the most PlayStation 4 game. I don't, because it kind of combines like it's open world, because of course it is. But it's also like very cinematic and third person and stuff. It's like it has like a bit of that Last of Us Uncharted feel in it, but with like the open world stuff going on. So there's that.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say, what game do you think had the best graphics last gen? Is it God of War? Is it Last of Us 2?
I think it might still be Uncharted 4, honestly.
Yeah, Uncharted 4 is up there.
Because Last of Us is, you know, same stuff, but I feel like it can't kind of show off as much because it's all dreary and crappy looking. Yeah. Whereas, like, you know, I still think about Uncharted 4, that level where you're just on that boat and you're driving around those little islands.
Yeah,
like,
that was good.
It looks so good.
God of War, though, it just had a scale to it.
It did, but...
That I think was really impressive.
Right, yeah. No, you're absolutely right there. Final Fantasy VII Remake actually looked very good.
That is high on the list. You're not wrong.
And another one that actually comes to mind, and I kind of wish I played more of this because I did enjoy it, but I just... I'm sometimes hesitant to start these games because I find them stressful. The Resident Evil 2 Remake looked... very good.
Yeah, I own that and haven't played it yet.
It looks incredibly good.
It does. Capcom, right. they have a good graphics engine. Yeah, yeah. Monster Hunter looks good.
Yeah, they figured stuff out. Man, Final Fantasy VII Remake is kind of up there, really.
That might be my answer, actually. That game does look real good.
Yeah, so that looks good. But I meant more just in general Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm surprised how much I liked that. Yeah. Because I thought I would be a little bit off-put by its like weird direction. I'm like, oh no, this was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Make it a separate thing. I'm glad it only takes place in Midgard. That's the good part of the game anyway.
Right.
It's like, whatever. That's fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, so much of that generation to me is just all these PlayStation exclusives. Like, you know, like, how many of them missed, really? I mean, you had the Knack games, which are kind of, you had Days Gone, which...
That was probably the biggest miss, I think.
I mean, it still sold well, really, is the funny thing.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying. Like, you know, it wasn't... I get it. I get why...
raises all ships, Mike.
Yeah, I get what they're going for there, I suppose. Did you play A Second of Dreams? I played it at trade shows. I
haven't touched it.
It's weird to think that thing is out, but man.
I mean, they showed that when they announced the system.
That can't possibly have made money.
No, it was...
It's been development forever, and no one
unless
really
they bring it forward to PS5 and continue to do stuff with it. I don't know.
Media Molecule.
Yeah.
What are they up to? Because they didn't make Sackboy. I guess they just been working on Dreams. Which I feel like
is making Dream stuff.
Remember, what happened to Microsoft's kind of Dreams thing? Because remember they made
they had that thing.
They made the Conkers.
It had a name.
Yeah. What happened to that?
It was an early access, and they were like, screw this, we're out."
Yeah,
Microsoft abandoned a lot of projects this gen. When you think about it, there was that Fable Legends.
Oh yeah,
I played the beta of it. It was fine.
E3.
It was fine. There was that. Oh, what was the Scalebound?
Oh yeah, I had an interview with that guy.
Yeah.
For Scalebound at E3, and then it was just canceled.
Yeah.
That was weird because Platinum Games was only on the up. Near Automata is a very interesting. We kind of got here in a weird way, but Nier Automata is a standout game to me.
Uh-huh.
Just in terms of being kind of this bastion of like, these kind of like Japanese games that they're pretty much AAA, right? But you don't think of Nier Automata does not look as good as The Last of Us Part 2 or stuff like that, but it like doesn't hurt it at all. Everybody still really enjoys it and gets into it.
But there's another one that they canceled I was going to bring up. What was that game? It was an Xbox original. Like they did the remaster of it, and they were going to make a new one. It was something like Phil Spencer was all about.
Oh.
Phantom Dust. Remember they're going to make a new one or something?
Right.
And that like just died off too?
Well, yeah. I almost said Crackdown 3. And I remember they did release
they
that.
They did release it.
That came out.
What do you know?
I mean, that was... Microsoft is so interesting here because it's like they still came out of things okay, even though... They launched the Xbox One under one vision that was wrong.
Very wrong.
Like, they released it under this whole, like, the important thing is that this is an entertainment box now. Yeah. And of course, yeah, I can play games, but isn't it cool that you can connect your cable TV to it?
Yeah, and the, like and HDMI in and out.
The timing so bad on that. Yeah. Jeff Grubb, who I talked about earlier, I do that GamesBeat podcast with. He actually made an interesting video talking about why the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One were bad, and not the games for them,
right?
But the consoles were just bad because they had, even for the time they came out, they had bad CPUs, they had bad hardware.
They were more worried about being media boxes, like it was almost like they were hedging their bets that console gaming might fail.
Well, that's what he said.
So they needed like more to convince you to stick around.
Because remember, when this stuff was happening, like 2012, 2013, people were talking about the last console generation and like how, you know, well, console gaming, who knows anymore, right?
I never understood that. What was the alternative? $1,500 gaming PCs? Like,
I mean, I think once again, even back then, people were already thinking about cloud gaming and phones PCs. Phones was... It was this weird thing. Everyone's just going to play games on phones. And I don't know. All that stupid stuff.
Well,
and
I think the last couple of weeks have proven how wrong that is. The thirst for the Series X and PS5.
Every single time there's like this new sector, people are like, well, this is going to destroy this other sector of gaming. And that never happens.
Yeah, it's just coexist. Gross. People just like more games.
The whole industry just grows.
Yeah, it's great.
And console gaming grew insanely during this period with these systems.
Mm-hmm.
Even with like... the kind of rough innards of them, but people just were really excited about console gaming because people made very good games this generation.
All right, so of all the features that were abandoned on the various pieces of hardware, this probably applies more to Xbox. Is there anything you miss or wish could come back?
I don't miss Kinect. I mean, that's the fun. And we're still kind of talking about the last thing, but that is incredible. That was the big vision.
It was included, no choice.
That was because it was so integral.
Yeah. That's why it cost $100 more and the RAM wasn't fully
adequate. When's the last time you even thought of a Kinect?
When I moved it out of a dust-covered corner
last week. Just imagine, as they envisioned it, we would have absolutely had a Kinect connected to our Xbox One until we replaced it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
What a joke. Like, what a joke.
Yeah.
What an absolute joke. I mean, like, I understand that Kinect sold a lot on Xbox 360, but you think they would have had some... like foresight there to kind of realize that there was a lot of that was hype and that it didn't really work that well. It really just didn't. Man, I don't know.
What I do miss, I kind of miss snapping.
Oh, I never did much snapping. I was like,
snapping is fun for things like, one thing I use it for is because I had my cable box in my Xbox One at the start when I sold cable, and I would have the Red Zone stream because I could do that in the app in one window, and then my cable box playing games in the other. And so I could kind of like multi-box my football Sundays. That was like the big thing I did with that. Well, not much else. I mean, the other nice thing that I got used out of for a while before I came up with different ways of doing it is I had the antenna adapter.
Oh.
And that would stream the antenna to your smartphone.
Mm.
So that's how I got TV on my phone for a long time, actually, and they worked pretty well.
Let's talk about long-running franchises that had installments on there. What are some that maybe jump out?
That like had like a good, let's see.
Real good one. Because there's two that are really interesting to me. And they're kind of for similar reasons. What?
Uncharted 4, do you mean longer than that?
No, let's not talk about PlayStation anyways. Okay. But I mean like, Metal Gear Solid 5 is a very interesting game to me.
That game didn't hit for me at all.
I don't know why, because it was incredible.
Yeah, I don't know.
I loved it. But that game was just so good. And then it just kind of falters at the end because it doesn't really have an ending. And then Final Fantasy 15 is very interesting because it also kind of feels unfinished in some way. I think overall, if I looked at it like very mathematically like a robot, I would say Metal Gear Solid 5 is better. But here's the thing. Like, let's say they're both five-act games. Metal Gear Solid 5 is missing Act 5.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy 15 is missing like Act 3 or 4. So
yeah,
at least
I'd rather have Act 5. Yeah.
Right. So at least like Final Fantasy 15, it ends really strongly and it still feels like a complete experience. There's that bit like in the late middle where it kind of feels weird. It kind of feels like we're skipping over things.
Did you ever play it after they patched it? Did you go
back? No, I didn't go back to that chapter
that
they redid.
For you.
Well, no, because there's like this part of the game where like you're in that large part of it takes place in the open world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like the last like half of the game is just suddenly very linear.
Yeah.
And even like ride a train through this other like continent or whatever. I'm like, I feel like in the design doc, this area was going to be like the second open world area.
And they just never got
there.
And
it just didn't happen. Right. They're like, we have to ship this game. Forget that. I am 90% sure that is what happened there. And like, obviously we know what happened there is that game was in development forever and had to come out.
Right.
Metal Gear Solid 5, kind of the same thing. And then, you know, there's that ugliness with Kojima and stuff like that. What do you think about Death Stranding? by the way.
Never touched it.
I touched it.
and then you walked away.
No, I mean, I never hated it, but I never...
Got it.
I never enjoyed it. Yeah. I mean, it was fun. I thought it was interesting. I wasn't having very much fun. I almost like... If it was actually just kind of like a calming delivery game about like managing the weight of your deliveries and finding routes through mountains, I think I may have actually liked it. I did not like the whole stealthing through the goo monsters thing. Yeah. I always found it like stressful and weird and like, oh, I don't know. I didn't enjoy. Did you
Oh, good.
Did you like any of the Call of Duties this time around?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, as bad as it sounds, my favorite was probably Black Ops 4.
Oh, really? It was fun.
It's the one probably we played the most of.
I kind of liked Advanced Warfare. Like, I actually liked the campaign and the, that was the press F to pay respects one.
Right, so we got a good meme out of it. Yeah,
but, obviously it hasn't aged very well with What's-His-Face as the main bad guy.
Yeah, whoops.
What's his name again?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, yeah. But he did do a pretty good job.
Right, like, I mean, it was a big actor to have in a Call of Duty game.
He was just basically playing his character from House of Cards, but it worked.
Right.
It worked fine, but that was like the last Call of Duty campaign I remember. I skipped a couple of them just outright. I did not play Ghost because everyone said it was terrible.
Yeah.
I did not play Infinite Warfare because...
You know, I didn't mind Infinite Warfare.
I probably wouldn't have if I actually played it, but there was part of me just like...
Yeah, you're in a spaceship. That was fun.
I mean, I'm already not that much into Call of Duty, so if everyone's going to dogpile onto one and say it's bad anyways, then I'm just going to take it as an excuse to not play it.
Yeah.
I said this. I know everybody's playing it and it's going to break sales records. But it does not seem like a new Call of Duty just came out, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, because like it came out like a couple days after the consoles,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing that thing now that's gonna happen where it's like it's a $60 game on Xbox One, PS4. They're like, yeah, I mean, you can play this in backwards compatibility mode if you want, but if you really want to play it on the Series X and PS5, you got to pay for the $70 version that's called like Next Gen Edition. And yeah, that's funky. And then like Warzone, it's still old Warzone, like from last year. But then it still hooks into this new one to get, like, items.
Yeah.
But then, like, you saw... I don't know if you saw... I think Jeff was talking about it, how... Because of the way the systems handle backwards compatibility, because it's still just considered an Xbox One and PS4 game, Warzone will run at 120 frames on a Series X, but the PS5 can't do that.
Yeah. And Jeff was talking about that on our podcast today, and it's mm-hmm. just a thing about backward compatibility, basically. And
right.
Xbox is more designed for that. It's still a little weird to me. I understand why they did, but like that they didn't bring back Blackout, which was the Black Ops Battle Royale thing.
Yeah.
But I think now they're like, no, people are... I think just that Warzone yeah. retained better than Blackout.
Yeah, I think they realize you can't introduce a new one every year because you're going to split because people are still playing Blackout and like it better and everything. But Well, let me ask you this. So going back to our whole generation, what was your favorite multiplayer game that we had? Because I have a very definitive answer.
I do too. It was something for instance. I think it was Titanfall 1.
Absolutely.
Now, Titanfall 2's campaign was so good.
Incredible.
And ultimately, if you ask me which one do you like more, I would say Titanfall 2. But Titanfall 1's multiplayer, we had a good time with that.
Oh, I mean, it's the first and only game I've ever really done like any prestiging in. I think mm-hmm. I got the prestige 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and our friend Perry, they maxed it out. I mean, we played that thing every night for several hours for months. I mean, we were in it. That was such a good time because it felt pretty next gen, you know. There was a lot going on.
Yeah.
It was big. It was using the I remember Microsoft's whole thing about how the cloud is going to render shit now. And that was one game where like the cloud was running the AI guys who kind of filled in the map to make it feel a little busier. So that was cool.
Right.
And just like it had.
I still assume that's just a lie. I don't know. I'm so cynical about the cloud. I just don't believe that.
I mean, like it had a balance that 2 really lacked. Even though the Titans were scary to an on-foot pilot, you still had options.
Yeah.
You could take them out. In Titanfall 2, you're just taking out battery cells, and that never felt satisfying.
Yeah, right. So, but yeah, Titanfall 1, that was a while ago, dude.
That was it was launch window, right?
Was it?
It wasn't launch, but it was...
It felt like it was pretty close, not long after.
I was in Cranberry.
Yeah, it was a while.
Yeah.
It had to be within a year.
Yeah, exactly.
It was
one of those games where like you watch the trailers where they're doing all this like wall running and leaping through the air, and you're like, okay, cool. And then you actually can do that in the game. And it's like, oh, sweet, they nailed this.
There's a couple of really big games that I feel like you just never got into that I liked a lot.
Like what?
Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
I've played a few hours of it.
I can't believe that that wasn't a game you were, because you
I know that was just the beginning of me having kids and not being able to sit down for 10 hours and play it. Like, Skyrim came out in 2011, I played that 10 hours a day.
So I probably liked Witcher 3 more than I liked any of the Dragon Age games, maybe more than I liked Skyrim, to be honest. I liked Witcher 3 a lot. I thought that was super fun. I mean, the best thing that that game did was, like, every little, like, side quest or whatever still felt like...
like a fleshed out
as fleshed
thing.
Out
as much effort
else.
As the main quest.
Right.
Yeah.
It was, like, so it was all really fun and interesting to do, so...
You know what studio I think had the worst time this generation?
Besides Konami?
Well, they don't even count. They didn't even try. Sure. BioWare. BioWare struggled this gen.
Yeah.
I mean, Dragon Age Inquisition, I think, is fine. It was winning Game of the Year awards because it was just a year where
that was
nothing
a rough
came
year.
Out.
And even, like, now, I'm like, I look back and I'm like... I know I did like this game, but I'm looking back at it, I'm like, why did I like this game?
It was
fun to play.
It was better than two.
So
you had that going for it. But then, like...
I remember so many things about Dragon... I keep going to say Dragon Quest because I'm playing it. I remember so many things about Dragon Age 1 still, about my playthrough, about the characters I played.
Yeah, like, very specific.
I'm like, who's in my party in Dragon... I know I had the dwarf. I had me. I had the dwarf.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who's in my party in Dragon Age 3.
Then
so.
Mass Effect Andromeda was...
Oof. I didn't even play a second of that.
I mean, I love the Mass Effect trilogy. Mm. I started that game and I was like, this... It felt like paint by numbers.
Yeah.
It very much felt like, here's the B team.
Kind of like corporate
mandated. Can you guys make
Mass
Effect? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then, you know, I mean, I liked Anthem. But I recognize the game's faults.
Yeah, that was a rough time. Yeah, so, BioWare.
Yeah, right. Like they did, and honestly, I put a lot of the blame at the Frostbite engine. I feel like they were forced to use that engine. They were like, our games don't work.
We had to hear about Frostbite this entire.
Yeah, thank God that's kind of loosened up for EA. And then
it's weird how Battlefield had a resurgence. Like I remember Battlefield 3 was one of the earliest games everyone was playing on Xbox One. People like that was a launch game basically. And then, you know, Battlefield 4 was a big hit. Battlefield 1 did well. It's weird how much Battlefield, what was it called? Battlefield 2? That missed big, right? That was weird.
Which one is that? Is that
the World War II one?
Well, because there's girls in it, Mike.
Yeah, okay, I know. And that was really stupid. But, like, did you play it? I didn't play a second of it. Yeah.
No.
A lot of people didn't play it. Like, it missed. Like, it was weird because that was a franchise that was really on the up and up until all of a sudden, like, no one liked their World War II one.
Well... I played some of the... Well, they did that thing of the campaign. It was like a bunch of mini campaign missions. And the problem...
The campaigns have always been
Battlefield,
so bad.
Yeah, Battlefield suffers from this, where like the fun of the game is this big open map and vehicles and all these people. So when it's a campaign, it becomes kind of a basic shooter with not like a lot on offer.
Mm-hmm. A couple other like the games that I like that you barely touched. Big one is Hitman. Those Hitman games.
Yeah, well, and you were late.
I was
so,
late, but
so
I
it's not like
but man, those are so much fun. Hitman 1 and 2, like if you haven't played those are so good.
I think I was the first one on Game Pass.
Something
I had
might
or
be on
something.
Game Pass.
Yeah.
Well, you really kind of want Hitman 2 because all of Hitman 1's in there anyway.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's what it was. Because if you like owned one, you got two, and I think I had that rig, so it was going
to
work.
Right, and now 3's coming out. I'm looking forward to that. And they also announced that those guys are making the James Bond
game.
That's
pretty rad.
That's
cool.
But
cool.
Hitman is... I actually like almost beat it like a year ago or so, and then right before the consoles came out, just like Kill Time, I actually played through all of it. I had to start over even. I didn't care. I just played through all of it. It's so much fun. Games are so good. The other one, which we talked about before in the show, is Red Dead Redemption 2. That was not your thing.
Yeah, again.
And I loved it. I got it at first. At first I was like, people are right. This is kind of like slow and weird. And then like by the end, I was like super all in.
Again, it's just that thing that I don't have like a 5-hour stretch where I can play it.
Sure, yeah. It's not a game you can play
in
small.
Yeah, I think that game kind of demands that, like an extended sitting. And I just, it was too fiddly for me. And I felt like by the time I finally got a groove going, I had to go to bed or a kid woke up or something and I couldn't keep going. It's one I want to go back to. So we'll see. Yeah.
It's weird the franchises that didn't really have an installment this generation.
Like GTA?
GTA. I mean, GTA 5 was one of the best-selling games of the generation on these consoles anyway.
Right.
So that, you know,
we'll continue to do so.
Yeah, so that's weird, but there's no Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. We got an okay Fallout and then a bad Fallout.
Yeah, then a bad Fallout, yeah. Yeah, Bethesda kind of had a weird time of it too, huh?
Yeah.
When you think about it really there. And then there's like... We only really had one Halo, and everyone hated it.
Yeah, Yeah, that happened. I mean,
we had the Master Chief Collection, which was cool, but was incredibly buggy.
Yeah, we think we could finally finish our Halo 2 co-op run that we started.
Yeah.
Again, when I was living in Cranberry. God, yeah, that was so
fun.
Long ago.
It was funny because we were doing it we were doing console before, so that'd be fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Microsoft in general. What was the best Microsoft exclusive besides Ori?
Besides Ori,
See if Thieves was fine.
Sea of Thieves was fine.
I didn't even. I played a bit of Gears 4's Horde.
I think we'd enjoy. I think now Sea of Thieves is settled. Yeah. I think we'd have fun, but you guys won't give it a chance to get in there.
If you want
to
play one of those games with me, like, I'm already invested in Avengers. I may as well just do that.
Well,
that's
the thing. Like, Sea of Thieves isn't about progression. It's just about hanging out and pirating
things.
That's
part of the problem. You know, I like RPGs. I like progression.
Well, you get, like, cosmetic progression. Yeah. But, yeah, like, there's not, like, a sword of skill or anything like that. It's just their swords.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, what else did
Remember when Watch Dogs was supposed to be the biggest thing ever? Like, that was, that was the first next-gen game we saw this generation.
Games still don't look as good as that original trailer.
Like, right? But Watch Dogs 1 was fine. Watch Dogs 2 was, like, better, but I also kind of didn't care.
Yeah,
Watch Dogs 3 feels like it got lost in the shuffle pretty quickly.
Legion. It's already here for $30, I think, or $40 right now.
Whoops.
So you want it on console?
The last Watch Dogs.
That always happens to Ubisoft. Like, buying a Ubisoft game at launch is a sucker's bet. They're always on sale within a month.
Not Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, when I bought Assassin's Creed Odyssey last year, I got it for $40 in December.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like, that's they always do that.
Hmm.
It's weird.
What about licensed games? Let's just talk about Star Wars first, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, people were mad at the Battlefront games. And I know, like, Battlefront 2 had its whole loot box thing. I enjoyed both those games.
Yeah, I did.
Very much.
Now, I played both of them on PC, but still kind of that era. But right. Yeah, I like both of them. And Jedi Fallen Order was really good.
Jedi Fallen Order is an incredible game. I love that game. And Squadrons is...
That's really fun.
Oh, I'm so glad. I want to play more B-Wings in that. Yeah. I'm so glad. Yeah, they're all really good games.
What about Star Trek?
I mean, Bridge Crew is pretty fun.
No, the game that was just called Star Trek.
Oh, yeah! Again,
the Gears of War knockoff.
Again, I understand why people didn't like it, but you and I playing that in split screen co-op was a. Did we do that in a sitting or maybe just like two or three?
It could not have been more than two.
I mean, we were still living together, so that helped. But boy, that was a fun time.
Yeah,
and it was great because it had all the original cast.
I mean, it was stupid.
Yeah, but it had the production value it needed. Mm-hmm. It was very superficial, but that's kind of what we liked about it.
Yeah. But aside from that, I feel like there's something I'm missing. I mean, there was Shadow of Mordor, which I enjoyed.
Yes, and that was good. That was good. Because the Nemesis system was really cool and innovative feeling.
Shadow of War is like on my... I've installed it on my Xbox.
Yes,
because I'm like, I missed this completely for one reason or another. So like maybe I can play this finally soon. But yeah, like I liked... Shadow of Mordor was really fun.
I remember because you got like an extra code for it. And Chris and I fought over who was going to get it. And I took it. And he was really mad at me. I never played it.
Well, big surprise. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, what other licensed?
I don't know.
Doodads.
Because I mean, so many. There's a trend this generation of so many licensed games just went for mobile things. Like that's all Disney did.
Yeah.
And we had Kingdom Hearts 3, which is which I like. I was just thinking about that again because like I played it and I really liked it, and then like I convinced myself that it was kind of bad. And now, like, I played Melody of Memory, and I'm like, no, I like Kingdom Hearts 3. I go back and forth. It was fun. At least it finally came out. Like, that was supposed to be a PlayStation 3 game.
That's crazy, yeah.
Same thing with, if we want to talk about JRPGs just a bit, Persona 5, which was really, really good. Mm-hmm. I think that was another thing that I'll we thought was going to come out forever ago. Even played. But I'll tell you what, probably the best JRPG of the generation. And maybe it's Persona 5, but it might be Dragon Quest 11.
Yeah, that comes out in a couple weeks on Series X, and I have it preloaded. I'm excited to jump into
it. It's so good. I'm playing through like that series now. I'm literally like halfway through.
You're doing to that what you did for Final Fantasy.
Well,
we started this podcast.
Yeah, but it's like I'm doing the machete order.
Right.
I'm jumping around. I played 11, then 5, and now I'm on 3, and then I already bought 7, so next 7, then if I can afford it, 8. Eight's like
oh just you know. get a PS2 emulator in your PC and do
no because they made a 3DS version of 8 and you can I could so like the digital version of it which you can still do in 3DS is $40 but I literally don't have an SD card big enough and part of me's like I just want the physical version anyways that's cool
I'll get you an SD card if you want Mike
and the physical version is like $100 now
I'll get you an SD card
I kind of want the code
hey you do you
I kind of wish they would release it on. Switch. Well, it has a bit of that. So it has a bit of a problem where, like, the 3DS version is better in just about every respect, people say, from the original PlayStation 2, except the US PlayStation 2 version had orchestrated music, and this 3DS version uses the original Japanese non-orchestrated
music. Oh, that's a bummer.
It's like especially Dragon Quest XI, because I played the
Switch release,
and it was like that S version that's coming out now for the other consoles. And the big upgrade there really was the orchestrated music. Yeah. And, like, I just played with that, and it was great. And I looked back to some videos where it's not orchestrated, and I'm like...
don't like it.
No, sir. So yeah,
maybe you could play the PS2 version on PS Now.
Oh, wow. That is a thing, huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we give Microsoft a hard time about all of its things, but PlayStation Now, which, like, it was supposed to be their big cloud gaming thing, and now it's basically just kind of their, like, worst version of Game Pass.
Right. Because they realized people didn't buy it for the cloud. And it's funny now, because Game Pass Ultimate, one of its hooks is in cloud gaming. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because it's and cloud gaming, not cloud gaming and. There's a difference there.
Do you have any big disappointments from the generation?
I feel like I do.
Does Mighty No. 9 count?
No, I never
How about ReCore?
Never played it.
There was something to ReCore, but there wasn't enough. And I was hoping there would be more to that. Mm. But I liked it okay. Man, Last of Us Part 2 might be one of them for me. I think I need to finally play more of it.
I played 10 hours of it.
Never
touched it. Yeah.
And I'm like, the fact that I found out, like, the game is still, like, another 10 hours long, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, I usually am all about Naughty Dog, but there's a part of me that's just like, I mean, obviously Andromeda is one of yours.
Sure. Yeah. That's up there. I'm trying to think if there's anything we haven't really brought up yet that I would put in that boat.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many good games this generation. It was like, if a game didn't look that appealing, I probably would
just
skip it. Right,
and that's the thing. And I think that's what kind of Game Pass is at least bringing back. But, like, if there was, like, the game that got, like, sevens, you didn't have time for it. There were too many games. So at least, like, now, if there's a game on Game Pass and it was like, oh, like, the camera's bad, but it does this really neat thing. You're like, okay, well, I'll check it out. But I was never going to spend, you know, $40-$60 on it. So, like, if anything, we talked a lot about PlayStation's incredible first-party lineup this generation, but I am very happy with Microsoft's reversal into the Game Pass model and how that's going to carry forward into Series X as they finally get kind of their first-party stuff cooking. Because Game Pass is real, real good. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the Forza games? Like, Forza had a pretty good generation.
Yeah. Let's talk about how good the Forza Horizon games were in particular. I mean, the Forza Motorsport games... I dabbled with them on the 360, but, like, again, I was never, like, a car guy, but for some reason, I think it's just wanting stuff to play on my new Xbox One. I got 5, and just, it clicked, and I immediately fell in love with it, so I've been playing every game of the series since, and Horizon 3 hit, and it was like, oh,
yeah, that was
like
the
this.
One that every, that's not the Australia one, right?
Yes, because, yeah. I mean, it captured the vibe of Burnout.
But it didn't have seasons.
No,
the seasons
changed everything
when they came with everything. 4, yeah.
But, like, it obviously wasn't as arcadey as Burnout, but it just had that kind of fun summertime vibe to it that, like, felt like a vacation. Even Horizon 4 with its seasons still feels like a summer game to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, like, the music and the festival atmosphere that they have.
But there is almost something about 3 I prefer.
Well, you know what it was about 3? It was that Hot Wheels expansion, because, I mean, the Lego 1 and 4 is cool, but that Hot Wheels expansion was really, really, really good.
So there were a lot of Assassin's Creed is interesting because it, like...
It reinvented itself this generation.
Started as, like, that... You know, like
Black Flag was really good.
Black Flag was like a launch game, basically, for these generations. And then we had, like, a bunch after that. Then the series kind of died and had to be reborn. And then it ended with Valhalla basically being what Black Flag was, this kind of both generations game.
This cross-gen game, yeah.
I think maybe my favorite of all of them, though, was still Black Flag of all the ones that came out. Although, granted, I barely played Unity or Syndicate, but...
I played a good chunk of Syndicate, actually, and as far as just being a traditional Assassin's Creed goes, it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Unity was fine, except, like, you know, the whole promise of that 4-player co-op never really worked the way I think they wanted to, and it was a bit of a technical mess.
I'm so weird about Unity because I just, you know how, like, everyone has, like, their era they want to go to? The French Revolution is, like, the opposite one. I'm like, that's just a hellscape.
Right, it really was.
Like, I don't, like, that doesn't seem like a fun place to go around. Even, like, that trailer with, like, the whole thing, like, we're going to rip off this person's head, watch it blink while it's on a pike. Yeah. I was like, no, thanks.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Like, I understand things are brutal. And, you know, obviously retribution is a really complex thing. That's why even, like, you know, like, there's a lot of, like guillotine imagery on Twitter sometimes. And I get what they're going for, but I'm like,
nah.
Guillotine.
I'll tell you what.
When you say eat the rich, like, that's funny. Guillotine, I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, that actually happened.
I know how that goes. We're just going to get a dictator in a few years anyways, and then things are going to get real shitty again, and we're going to kill a bunch of people for no reason, and we're going to be forced to retail to cities in high school and get sad. It's going to be rough. Whereas, like, you know, I think they've been doing a lot of really fun locations for eras recently. Uh-huh. Although I don't know why Origins wasn't really my thing. Origins still had so much jank to it to me that I think they smoothed it out.
It was the first version of this right. new iteration of the series.
I was playing Origins and I had some mini game, like some mission in Alexandria where I had to like drive a chariot and it was the most god.
Oh, I remember that.
I literally stopped playing for that. I was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, that was rough.
And I was like, you know, basically my goal was I wanted to go to Alexandria. I want to climb up the lighthouse of Alexandria. And I did, and it was cool.
Yeah.
And I went to the library and then I'm like, okay, I think I got everything I need to.
I feel like Origins is like, okay, we kind of want to be Witcher 3, but we're still an Assassin's Creed game. How do we toe that line? And they kind of didn't nail it. It was good, but they didn't nail it. Then you get to Odyssey, which is like, Assassin's Creed is climbing, right? Okay, cool. We're now like just an action RPG.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing about, like, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is good. I didn't play a ton of it. I played a good amount. But again, I think people who are right to criticize it, like, it's barely an Assassin's Creed game
anymore. Yeah, and I'm not going to say it's a great game. It's just, it queued a little too far for Assassin's Creed. Now, Valhalla, and I'll talk about it at the end here when we talk about some games we've been playing, does a very good job of getting back to Assassin's Creed while keeping the stuff that made Odyssey good.
Are we still talking about games we've been playing?
Yeah, why not?
I guess.
That takes 15 minutes.
Sure.
But yeah, it is interesting to kind of look at the Assassin's Creed series evolve through this generation. The other thing that I think is a hallmark of Ubisoft this generation, if you want to know if you're watching or playing a Ubisoft game, just wait for someone to say fuck every 5 seconds, because
Oh, God, yeah.
I remember like the benchmark test for Odyssey on my PC, and like, there's a guard by the camera when it starts. He just goes, get the fuck out of here. And I was like, did they really say that in ancient Greece all the time? Like,
oh, yeah.
Come on, Ubisoft. Like, really? Every Ubisoft game is just fuck this. You know what's a game that you and I never got into?
Hmm.
Is Rainbow Six Siege, for as big as it is.
I've never played it. I never got into Rainbow Six in general.
Well, I like the Vegas games. I played a bunch of those on 360.
The only one I played was like the original, and I had no idea what was going on. That was a straight up tactics game.
Yeah, the old school ones. Yeah, like, very different beasts there.
Right, so that was a whole different thing. What did you think about all the From Software stuff this year? Because that was a big company.
Well, that's the thing. I played Sekiro.
I played through Bloodborne.
Yeah, you beat Bloodborne.
And I feel like everyone who beats Bloodborne loves it. And I'm like, that's good.
I played some Sekiro.
I've been playing more Sekiro. That's been something I've actually been playing on
Xbox. Yeah,
I actually like that more than I think I like the Demon's Souls remake.
Well, that's the thing. I played the Dark Souls Switch online open beta. So that's the only Dark Souls I've ever played was that.
Did people not like Dark Souls 3? Was there some like...
No, 2's the bad one.
Is 2 the bad one?
Yes. Okay. So, I mean, I've just not played a lot of those games. Like, I'm very intrigued by the Demon's Souls remake just because it looks so damn good.
It looks very good.
Like, but that's going to draw me in. I told myself, if I beat Valhalla, I can get Demon's Souls.
You will not be getting Demon's Souls. No offense. I see your track record.
I beat a game this week, Mike. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Not that it was that long, but still.
I don't know. One of the last few things, like, I think it was Cuphead.
But yeah, that was a big thing. Microsoft did a fairly good job with kind of like indie things this generation compared to PlayStation.
Not like kind of indie, like high profile digital 2D games.
Well, I mean, they were indie productions that they just ended up publishing and throwing some money at. But you know,
what does indie mean anymore?
MDHR or whatever they call it.
Like how many people work for Moon Studios? I don't know.
Well, their next game is in Microsoft.
Right. Who did they get a deal with? It was one of the big.
I mean, it's going to be multi-platform, but...
Yeah, but I mean, there's a... I forget who they signed with.
Who was it? I forget.
It was somebody. Someone. Thing. Yes.
Yes.
All right. I mean, that's... I mean, okay, so what's your numb favorite of all these things?
I mean, it's still going Ori.
Yeah. Ori.
Okay, I think I'd go Ori, Uncharted 4, Titanfall.
So, I go Ori, Uncharted 4, and then 3. The number 3 spot is a little bit more...
I just think the fun we had playing. We had a blast.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, we didn't really talk about it, but I really liked that Spider-Man game a lot. That was so much fun.
Yeah. I brought
and
it up.
It feels, you know, I've been playing Miles Morales now. So that was good. Titanfall was super fun. One of the weird things about this generation, to be honest, I did not do a ton of console gaming compared to previous generations. I really started doing a lot of stuff on my PC instead, especially like I was playing a lot of Blizzard games. I was playing a ton of Overwatch, World of Warcraft and stuff like that, and a ton of Hearthstone and whatnot. So, and then when Switch came out, I started doing a lot more of that. And already with these new consoles, I'm spending just so much more time on the couch, like actually playing with these systems. And maybe that's just because they're shiny and new. I think it's just because they're better, and I hope that's why. But I'd have to think longer and get back to you on what number three is. There are so many things that like pop up. Maybe it's Hitman. Maybe it's Hitman 2. I don't
Interesting.
Know.
Interesting. Wow.
Might be Hitman 2. Hitman 2 is very, very good. Maybe it's Final Fantasy 7 Remake. Maybe it's something that I am forgetting about at this moment. I don't know. But I agree that it's like Ori and Uncharted 4 were certainly like my biggest ones. Those are the easy answers for me.
Okay.
Do you consider it like Overwatch part of this era? To me, that's such a PC thing for me. I know people play it, but like I don't consider it. Like if it is, then sure, that's with my top three. But I don't know. Like for me, that's such a separate
such a PC
thing for me.
Yeah.
All right, AJ. So you want to talk a little bit about what you've been playing then?
Yeah. So I'll start with the big one first. So I have my next gen consoles. It was a very smooth next gen.
Yeah, you got yours.
Both of them on day one delivered no issues. Delivered early in the day. Like I was like, "What is this?"
I don't even know why you got your play. Like I still ordered a PlayStation 5 that came in, and it came in like the day after.
All three of us ordered from Target at about the same time, and I just got mine that day. And yours came Friday, and Chris's came Saturday.
Yeah, I thought it would actually be more of a difficult thing. I thought like, it might be waiting a week, and I was like, oh no, this is fine.
It's here. Well, because originally it was saying like the following 18. Wednesday, and it was a mess. But anyway, so yeah, it came in, and the first game I bought, downloaded on it, was Miles Morales. And so I liked the PS4 Spider-Man. I never beat it. It was just one of those things where...
you don't beat much games.
Yeah.
Which I get. I'm just saying you don't.
But for some reason, I've come to realize that I just really like the character of Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Between Spider-Verse and this game now, I'm like, shit, I
remember
before
Spider-Verse came out, I was getting like... Because right before Spider-Verse came out, it was like, oh, he's in Spider-Verse, and he's in that Spider-Man game. And I was just like, who is this guy, and why is he everywhere, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, no, I get this guy.
Yeah, he's an incredible character. So, yeah, like, this game I fell in love with it immediately and couldn't put it down.
Now, did you play performance mode, or?
I played quality mode.
You're insane.
I need that ray tracing.
Oh, come on.
No.
If you don't, unless you're looking at, I mean, it's cool.
No, I was seeing it constantly, and every time I did,
smiled. That was worth going from 60 frames per second to 30 frames. You're insane. You're a crazy person.
So here's my thing. Like, yeah, if it's like a competitive online shooter, yeah, give me the frames. It's not like Miles. I needed like precision timing shoot something. I wanted it to look good, and it looks so good. Well, like when you're in like interiors and there's glass everywhere, and you just like see the reflections.
No, the ray tracing is really cool. It's not worth 60 frames a second.
I loved how it looks so much.
What was your favorite costume?
I don't want to spoil too much about it, I guess. It's a reward for a side quest chain.
Okay.
You know which one I'm talking about?
The one that you get from the guy starts with a P?
No.
No? The one you get from the neighborhood?
Yes.
Okay, that's not much of a spoiler, but yes.
I love that costume, though. It's great.
I just like the one where you get a holiday hat and scarf.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is that what you... No. You get that from one person when you do that.
Yeah, but it's like at the end of that chain.
But you couldn't just say the holiday one.
I don't know.
What are you overthinking things for?
I don't know. I overthink things.
You do.
I'm glad I did that.
The hat and scarf.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I did that whole quest chain because those characters, like, they're there for the finale of the main quest. Mm-hmm. Like, if you didn't know who they were, you'd be like, oh, it's just, like, people in the streets. But, like, I knew who they were, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like obviously, you know, we know the game's good. The way they just nailed, like, R2 is the gas. And you just go
swinging feels so good, and it's still
And then I think they must have done this in the last game, but I love the stealth sections in this game.
Well, I mean, you can turn invisible in the there was, but being able to turn invisible in command is
kind of like a get out of jail free card. But I like how the game tells you if this guy is safe to take out or not. Like, there's no ambiguity of like, oh, is there some guy who's like a pixel around a corner who's going to see this from 20 feet away. And, you know, there's none of that. So you can kind of be very efficient with your stealth fights. I love the Venom powers that Miles has. Like, cool. They made combat super fun. Like, I was pulling stuff off. Like, I'm doing it. I'm like, this looks so good.
Were you like me, though? You kind of, like, you felt that the gadgets were... And intentionally so, there's half as many because you have the Venom powers. But, like, I was just like, just give me the web
shooters. Oh, I barely touched them, yeah.
I would, like, maybe if there were bigger fights, I would switch over to the holograms.
I would just
throw those out. Because, I mean, but, like, the gadgets, like, the holograms, you throw them out and forget about them. They're not very interesting.
Yeah, I didn't even remember I had them half the time. I would use the... the little EMP or the electric clones for stealth. It was more about the Venom powers.
Yes, for sure. I liked how it was kind of a Christmas game, too.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Like it made you, like, everything about the game is like, I kind of wish I lived in New York when I was in my 20s.
I'm sure it seems not as glamorous as it seems.
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's not. But, like, it makes it feel like that. Like, there's one part where you walk outside to a street festival and you're just kind of in Miles mode, and it's like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah,
like,
it seems nice.
I want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, incredible story. The performances are all really good. It just looks incredible. I would say it is my favorite and best open world game that's in a modern city.
Okay.
It's not as particular as it sounds, but it's
better than Watch Dogs.
It's better than Watch Dogs, better than any GTA game. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, web swinging is more fun than driving a car, obviously.
You think it's the best launch game you've played in a long time?
Oh, hands down.
That makes sense.
It has an advantage. I mean, it is a 1.5 game, so to speak.
Yeah. But it feels more than that.
It does. But they had a foundation to work. Right. They didn't have to build this from scratch to be a PS5 launch title.
Sure.
That certainly helps.
Right. So what else have you been playing?
So yeah, I've been playing Astrobot, and I'm halfway through.
You're not a speedrunning expert like
me. Not yet. I will say, so you and Jeff Grubb have your pissing match, and I tried the run tonight. Not as easy as you make it look.
No, it's not.
It is tricky. It's tricky.
It's all very precise.
Yeah. So
I'll muscle memory.
I'll give you that. What a just a joyous game to play. This is so fun. Mm-hmm. And the triggers are just so cool. Here's the thing. A lot of people are saying, like, Call of Duty, like, is like, it's cool how it's using the triggers. Every gun feels different. I don't think I want it like a multiplayer game like that. Because, like, here I am using my Elite controller on the Xbox. I'm turning the triggers basically off with that controller to make them just buttons,
maybe.
Right?
I mean, if you're playing the campaign.
Right. Like, maybe there.
But I don't know. I haven't tried
but
that.
But in, like, you know, third-person action games, yeah, I want these triggers doing cool shit the whole time. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And a driving game is going to be incredible with those things. I'm looking very forward to Gran Turismo. On the Xbox side of things... Getting the Xbox felt very much like putting a new GPU in your computer.
Right, because, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, and I know they're going for it, but it's like compared to PlayStation 5 where you're like, get this crazy new controller and you're plugging in, it's all different. Like, it really is like, oh, this is the same UI. Mm-hmm. What am I going to play? I guess a game that came out for Xbox One.
But they, like, more than Sony did, they upgraded a lot of games.
No. It's like, I've been saying this before, like, it's still, they're both very good. Like, the Xbox One, the Xbox One, like that one.
Original Xbox.
Not even that, I meant that Xbox. That Xbox.
Yes.
So the Xbox One, not the Xbox One, but the Xbox Series X, that one. Anyways, it's the practical system, and like the PlayStation 5 is more exciting, though. And excitement is important.
Oh, sure. But, I threw in Gears 5, Forza Horizon 4, Ori, I mean, they look incredible. Like, Gears 5, if that was just a Series X launch game and it hadn't come out till now...
Yeah, they should have just delayed it, too.
I think people would be tripping over themselves going on how incredible it is, because it looks astounding.
See, I need to start it, but I'm still like a baby, like, I didn't play Gears 4.
No, who cares?
I need to get over it.
Yeah, just play it. It's really
good. Maybe I'll play it and just skip every cutscene. Like, who gives a shit?
No, watch the cutscene. I mean, they're good. They're well made. Playing Batista.
What happened in 4?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't.
All right.
It really doesn't. I mean, this game is kind of... It's in the world, but it's telling its own story. I mean, you're a new main character.
I thought she was in 4.
She's in it, but you're playing as her now, so...
Okay. What happened? Why? Did Marcus Fenix's son die in 4?
No, you start the game as him, actually, in 5. And then it switches.
Then he dies.
No, he doesn't. You think he does, but he doesn't. Sorry for early Gears 5 spoilers,
I guess. Dude.
Yeah, like Forza Horizon 4 in that box. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. 4K 60 in that game with all the graphics turned up.
It doesn't necessarily feel like they were really thinking they were going to have Halo Infinite. Right?
Yeah, and that's the thing.
And it's like this big, it's this weird gap.
We'll talk about that next month, I guess, for time of the systems. But yeah, you can definitely feel like there was supposed to be a Halo game. It's on the box. Like they were yeah. very much dependent on that, and it's a bummer that didn't happen. But I mean, the big Series X I'm playing, which is cross platform, is Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And I put it on pause because I wanted to finish Miles, because I knew that was like the quicker game to finish too, and I was liking it more.
It's better.
So I'll get back in it now this weekend, but it is really, really good. The game has like, you start in the Norway map. It's kind of like this game's hinterlands. Get out of the hinterlands.
Yeah.
Like, go to England. You go back to Norway. You can go back whenever you want. So don't feel like you're leaving it behind or anything like that. But it looks incredible. The gameplay feels really good. I thought my buddy Jeff Parsons, who's a huge Assassin's Creed fan, he didn't share his opinion with me, but I felt like the beginning of the story felt very choppy. Like there was a bit where like you get to this town, and you take it over, and then you're like, okay, we're gonna set up here, and then we're gonna go get the big base tomorrow or something, and then you go talk to your buddy, and he's talking about this fight that happened. Like, we just got here. What fight are you talking about?
I mean, there's
like
some
weird jumps like that.
That's
like,
Creed has some jank. Like,
yeah,
that
like, and he's like, maybe that was a bug. I was like, but how is it a bug? I just was doing main story quests in order. Like, I didn't miss anything.
Doing male or female Ivor?
So I started doing male because I thought he looked cool. The game has a third option where it switches for you, because you can change it whenever you want. You're not locked in. And again, Jeff was saying, like, play it that way, because he has a theory where that actually is going to hook into the narrative of why it's doing that. So I switched it to that.
I think everyone was all about Cassandra for Odyssey.
Right.
There's something about female Ivor's voice. Like, I feel like the person's like intentionally trying to grunt a lot. Like,
oh, really?
There's something about it that bugs me. So I don't like the voice.
I'm going to put on the default mode. I think just leave it there and let that play out. The only thing I'll say about this game, as far as a Series X game, and this is from what I can tell through the PS5 version, it feels to me like they didn't build this for the next gen consoles. They just took the last gen version or the PC version, whatever, and they just turned up the graphics and then let the systems brute force their way through it.
It's kind of like what they did for Black Flag.
Right.
Black Flag had prettier water.
And I say that because, like, you know, it's not a lock 60, particularly in Series X, where I feel like it should be. If it is on PS5, it should be on Series X. There's not that much of a power gap between these systems. And if there is, it favors a Series X. Like, the load times are faster, but it's not like Miles Morales where you fast travel immediately. Like, I do feel like these aren't truly optimized next-gen ports for this game. Yeah, we'll get that with the next one.
Did the expansion for Hearthstone come out?
Oh, yeah.
That came out?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that.
Oh, no, I'm out of it.
Yeah, you're really out of it. Hearthstone's going through a very interesting phase right now.
I'm, like, kind of not into it.
Well,
I'm not into it right now.
So they launched the Battle Pass with this expansion, or the Tavern Pass, they call it. And it was so weird. Like, there's this leaked survey came out months ago, and all the numbers were real janky, and no one liked it. And Blizzard was like, oh, no, this is a work in progress. Don't pay attention to the numbers. And it's exactly what it is. It's that version from, like, 4 months ago that no one liked. They did the thing in Battle Pass that's annoying, where it's not, like, every level is, like, 100 XP. It scales up. Right. So, like, to go from level 49 to 50, you would have to do 2 weeks of worth of weekly quests.
You think that by this point they would just err on the side of be more generous than less.
And that's what they told us was going to happen, right, which, again, is not doing them any favors.
And they're claiming the reason why it appears that way is like, well, because special events are going to give you extra XP.
Yeah, after a week of silence, yeah, they tried to pull that card. Everyone's like, eh, I'm not buying it. And then it sucks, too. Like, after the first weekly reset, all the weekly quests involve cards from the expansion, but the expansion was still 2 days away from launching. So you, like, lost 2 days in weekly. Some people, their weeklies didn't reset at all, so they just lost out on it.
Yeah.
And then, like, the one weekly quest I had was play 10 old gods. Well, I opened 130 packs, Mike. I didn't get any old gods.
Whoops.
Like, well, that's cool. So I ended up crafting Yasuraj's because, like, well, that's, like, the meme-y one, and it's fun, and it goes in a lot of decks.
Like, I was only really playing Battlegrounds. Like, I haven't really been that much into Constructor
That's the other issue, too. Like, they were like, oh, like, this lets you play Hearthstone the way you want to play and still get rewards. Nah. Mm. All the quests, like, once in a while, there's a quest that applies to Arena or Battlegrounds or the new duels. But they're mostly for ladder. You know, win seven ranked games is a constant weekly quest.
I played a lot of that game for 6 years, you know, and like yeah, maybe it may all come back, but right now I just, you know, like, this is an expansion I feel like I'm not really gonna play.
I mean, for the last 3 years I've been pre-ordering the mega bundles, you know, and I feel like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't know. Part of it is too that I've been playing a lot of Genshin Impact, although I am slowing on that too, finally.
Don't get me started.
But that's where I played Hearthstone, was on mobile. But yeah, it something feels off about that game right now, and it bums me out. And I don't feel like this is a bad expansion so far. I don't feel like it's created too many new decks yet. It's just kind of shored up a lot of the existing ones. Like Broom Paladin got better. Totem Shaman's actually really good right now.
You're more in tune with this stuff than I am right now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm a guy who's revealed two Hearthstone cards before.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just... And, like, they've been bleeding team members over there, too. Yeah. A bunch of them left for Mike Morheim's new thing. Who's the one guy? His name's skipping my head. No. Yeah,
he has a thing going on with Marvel.
Well, that was years ago. Yeah, I mean, like recently.
At some point, that's
going
to be happening.
Dave...
I don't know. Move on.
You interviewed him two years ago, I think, at BlizzCon. He just left. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Something feels off about Hearthstone right now, and I don't like it.
AJ, I feel like we've been talking for a while.
Yeah, we're coming up on the hour, Mark.
Well,
these monthly shows tend to always work out to be an hour. Well, how funny is that?
I say that's that then.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone, to the Exploding Barrel podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Be sure to go to all the podcast places and like the show if you would. Again, let us know what you think about the future of the show. Give us your opinions on what you think should be done.
Yeah.
We've laid it out.
Funny enough, as we were recording, my daughter woke up and is downstairs sleeping on the couch, and my wife's upset about it. So, hey!
Has she been doing it still a lot? Like every night?
Every night. I mean, the last few nights, she's been lasting till in the middle of the night while we're asleep.
Fun.
So, of course, the one that I try to sneak away, she's up at 10:30.
Mm.
Jeez. But anyway, fun stuff happening on 90s Disney. Last night, so I got to edit it this weekend, I interviewed Josh Gillespie, who is the guy who runs the Muppet History Twitter account that many of you might be familiar with. So we just kind of shot the shit about just why he's into the Muppets and how he started this account.
Talk about Muppet Vision 3D?
Oh, yeah, and then we talked about Muppet Vision and Christmas Carol in particular, since we did shows on those. We went all over the place. If you like Muppets... It's a cool episode. If you're curious about him, because he runs this account, we talked a little bit about him personally, which was fun too. And then supposedly Chris is doing research to do our next episode for the show on Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yep.
For December 1st. So,
look forward to that.
Keep an eye for that.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel podcast.
Bye-bye.